This morning, I want to talk about the rest of the year. But I actually want to talk about the rest of the year that you need before the rest of the year. So we often, well, in our practice in our church is on come Christmas Day, we have our service, and then we have a downtime for rest and abiding over the end of December and up to the middle of January. We don't have any formal activities in the life of the church. And we think that's really important because we think it's important to live a rhythm of work and rest in our life with God and as God's community. But unfortunately, just because we're focused on Christmas, although we set aside the time, we don't necessarily set aside the time to explain it or to press into it from a teaching perspective. And so that's what I want to do today. Because some of us will have been really rested over the last few weeks. And some of us will not have been very rested at all. Some of us might felt like we were rested physically, but haven't been rested mentally or emotionally at all. Others of us might think, well, I'm feeling rested mentally and emotionally, I've disconnected from work or school or whatever, but I'm still really tired physically. And unfortunately, I can't be like Bob Hawkins suggesting to have the next few days off without any consequence. I'm not talking to you today about having another holiday for the next days or weeks, but I am talking about how do we enter into rest with God. And for those of you who are feeling that you don't have the energy for the year, well, it'll be obvious to you. For those of you who are feeling like, yeah, well, I'm up and at it, I'm excited for the year, well, that might be true. You might have high energy levels of your own. But the question is, how high are your God energy levels? And particularly as we come into a new year, some of us still have what feels like a bit of a COVID hangover. Maybe you're not quite as used to gathering with people and having them over to your place as you're used to. Or maybe you're still a bit uncertain about things because we've had so many years of you start something and then you've gone into lockdown and you can't continue it. Or maybe relationships have changed or whatever else. Maybe there's a sense of a bit of a COVID hangover for you and you can't necessarily quite put your finger on it. Or maybe you've gone through some other changes and circumstances in your life and actually it's been a challenge or it's been tiring or whatever. There are many reasons that we need to come to rest in God. For some of us, really obvious, and for others of us, less obvious, but we all need it. And I'm going to read the well-known passage from Matthew chapter 11, from verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we need to live into the truth of these verses more than we have. We need to live into the truth of these verses in fresh ways. And I want to unpack a few things that might be barriers to us for that. And the first one is the idea that, well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to press into God and to connect with God's rest because I'm going along fine. Because I'm independent. And our culture really values the mirage of independence. But Jesus didn't. I was listening to the audio version of John's Gospel as I was driving around last week, and it struck me as I listened to the whole of John's Gospel over the course of an hour and a half or something, how dependent on the Father Jesus was. Here he is, he's the Son of God, he's the King of the universe, and yet in his ordinary, everyday human life, he lived in utter dependence on his Father. He said, I only saw what I saw the Father doing. I only said what I heard the Father saying. Now, it wasn't like Jesus was passive. He was very active. And it wasn't like Jesus wasn't fruitful and didn't good things didn't happen. He had incredible things happen. But in the midst of all that, it wasn't a didn't come from a place of independence. It came from a place of deep dependence. And even those of us who like to glory in our independence need to be reminded that, hey, you're actually really dependent on Melbourne Water or Yarra Valley Water. You know, if they went away, you would soon be really thirsty. Or if their treatment plant stopped working, you might be really sick. And if suddenly just a few people in the transport industry got sick and couldn't transport food from farms to supermarkets, you would be, again, like we did during COVID, discover that independence is actually a mirage. And the Christian life is about deep dependence. Not becoming a robot, not becoming a nothing, but living your life drawing on the life of God. Whether or not you think you need it or not. And so the first thing we need to recognise is that independence is a myth. The second thing we need to really wrestle with is, do we actually think that God is the person we should go to when we have a lack of rest? Or do we think that when we're feeling a lack of rest that we should go to Netflix or to Chadston for some retail therapy or to a beach? Now, so For me, I've been working in a church all day, working for God, preparing a sermon, talking to people or whatever else. At the end of my busy day when I'm drained or whatever, do I think actually the God that I've been serving all day is actually the God I should go to for rest? Like, do I deep in my core have a conviction that God is the best person to go to for rest? Like, there's a verse in Hebrews that says, anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, I think we can extend that to say, anyone who wants rest from God must believe that he is the expert on rest. And he gives rest to those who come to him. Because so often, when we want rest, we look for distraction. But not rest. Not restoration. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And coming to God for rest is something that we need to learn to do and that we need to learn to do better. We need to practice it so that our default becomes, when I'm mentally frazzled, when my soul is disturbed, when whatever's happening, my first port of call is God. Because God is the expert on rest. I mean, God for God's people said, you actually, one day a week, you need a day of rest. And if you don't take it, you're going to get in trouble. And more than that, you need times of festivals several times a year where you come together and you have rest together and with me and with your other people. And we looked at that, some of that last week. In the Gospels, in a number of different occasions, Jesus says that if you as parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father? And so Jesus takes, you look around and see someone who's a good parent. Well, multiply that by 10, multiply that by 100. God's even better parent than that. And now that I'm a grandparent, some of the lessons of parenting start to come back to my memory. But what are parents good at with toddlers? They're good at identifying when they need rest. Right? And they're good at helping them to rest. Now, if parents can do that, then surely for their children, surely God can do that for us. God knows when you need rest more than you do. And if you think you need rest, then God surely knows you need rest. It's not a surprise to God. Sometimes we think when we come to God, well, God, it's all business. You know, I've got to come, I've got to be praying for this person or that person or asking God what to do or whatever else. And many times God might just say, hey, hang on a tick. Let's just stop. Let's just rest. I'm the source of the rest that you are seeking. Now, you don't need to worry about that whether you'll become an entirely passive follower of Jesus, because God will then prompt you to do stuff. I was fortunate enough, and for those of you who are playing Dallas Willard bingo, here it is. So my Dallas Willard reference for today. I was fortunate enough to go on a two-week live-in retreat with Dallas Willard 14 years ago. And the first thing he told us to do was to get 10 hours sleep. And that was about living into rest, living into God's rest. And so we come back to this passage. And I find this passage is fascinating. It's found in chapter 11, just after a time where Jesus has been recognizing that a bunch of people have not been responding to his ministry. But on the other hand, a few nobodies have. The sort of thing that would wear people out or get people down or weigh them down or discourage them. But then Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Dallas Willard, ding, 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 says, if you're trying to find one word to describe Jesus, it's relaxed. Just try that. Read through the Gospels and try it on. You know, Jesus was in the hometown in Nazareth and it was going so badly that everyone wanted to stone him and kill him. And it just says he calmly, it doesn't say calmly, but it just says he walked through the people and left. And so Jesus was relaxed. It doesn't mean he didn't have stressful things going on around him. And see, that's the thing, isn't it? So often we think, my rest is determined by and dependent on my circumstances, over which you have no control. And sometimes we can think, well, I want God to arrange everybody else so that I'm restful. Well, God won't do that, because that just builds narcissism and self-centeredness. God will and does change circumstances, and the Psalms are full of people crying out to God for relief from their enemies and all sorts of things, and we should do that as well. But if we think that our rest is determined on our external circumstances being made perfect, then that's never going to happen. What we need to do is become better at coming to me when we are weary and burdened and receiving from God his rest and restoration. But here's the thing. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Here, take this pill. Now, I'm not saying that taking medication is bad. In fact, if you and your doctors prescribe it, I encourage you to take it in the doses they prescribe. But what, building on the thing about the idea of rest being, we just want our external circumstances to change, sometimes we also just want a magic pill that gives us rest without any internal change happening for us. You see, Jesus says, come to me, and not for a pill, but for a person. Not for a chemist, but for Christ. Now, pills and chemists are really important. Please hear me, I'm not having a go with that. But if we're going to live into the rest of God, in addition to those things, Jesus says, when you're weary and burdened, take my yoke on you and learn from me. Now, most of us aren't farmers. We don't know what yokes are. We think it's something in the middle of an egg rather than something that goes over the back of a bullock. But maybe if you just think of it this way, come to me and let me put my arm around your shoulder and walk with me. That's what parents do and grandparents do when they've got a child that's unsure or whatever. Come with me and walk with me. Hang out with me for a while. And I think it's Eugene Peterson and says, come to me and learn the unhurried rhythms of grace. So when I come to Jesus looking for rest, I've got to come with a learning attitude. Not with a prescription, but just with an ear. And God might whisper to you, hey, I am actually a reliable Heavenly Father. That might be the thing you need to hear. Or it might be God says, you've got this fear or this shame or this guilt that you need to let go of. Because in the cross, I've dealt with your fear, shame and guilt. Or maybe God will say, actually, you've got this wrong idea about me. That needs to change. Or you've got this wrong priority. Or you're trying to do things in your own strength rather than my strength. And so we come to the person of Christ. And we can say, what have you got for me now? And for, you know, you might hear a testimony of someone say, yeah, well, I was tired and weary and I came to God and then God spoke to me about X, Y, and Z and it was all really amazing and all really detailed. And you think, well, that never happens for me. But that's not the point. You're not ever comparing what happens to you to what happens to someone else. Trust God to give you what you need for now. A couple of weeks ago, I'd had a pretty intense day doing stuff and I got to, I'm in a bit of a night owl, so 11 o'clock at night isn't late for me. But I was feeling in need of rest, both physically and spiritually. And so I did this, saying, okay, God, you are the expert on rest. Lying on the couch in the lounge room, I said, God, you are the expert on rest. I'm just coming to you. And I just explained who I am and how I'm going and I just need your rest, God. And I don't know how it happened, but I ended up just listening to a song over and over again and it really sunk deep into my soul. And that was the spiritual rest that God gave me. And then, surprisingly, my spiritual tiredness was lifted, but my physical tiredness was also lifted somewhat too. So in that case, for me, it was just simply a song. But it might be a scripture, it might be whatever. So how can you come to God? Well, we've learned and we've reminded ourselves that creation is a temple where God is present. And so one of the ways that we come to God and rest is to just spend time in creation. You know, sitting in the garden, looking at a tree, looking at a little bird, whatever, patting the cat, walking the dog. Or maybe it's being with a close friend and you recognise that actually there's the life of God's in them and when I'm with them, I'm actually somehow connected to the life of God. Or maybe it's just the pausing and closing your eyes and breathing in and breathing out and remembering that God is closer to you than you're breathing. And the breath of God brings strength to you. So you might like to think, as we draw to a close, how are you going to come to Jesus to find rest for your soul today? Because in a few weeks' time, we're going to be beginning to think about what are the things that God's calling us to do. And Paul was really clear about this. In 1 Colossians, and in chapter 1, he was really clear about the task that God had given him to do. But he said he would do it with all the energy that God provides. So at the beginning of this year, we're not just asking, what is God calling us to do, but what is God giving us energy to do? And you might already have energy for X, Y, and Z, which are your things, and that's great for that. But what is the thing that God's actually saying, I'm giving you energy for this? And so we want to have the rest of the year before the rest of the year. We want to draw near to God and say, God, give me your rest, give me your strength, so I can hear what you're calling me to and receive from you the energy to do it. And in the lead up to the Pentecost, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive you will receive power so that you can be my witnesses. So drawing near to God for rest is a chance for us to then hear from God what he's calling us to do and receive from him the energy to do it. And so that's what I'm going to encourage you to do numbers of times over the next couple of weeks. Not coming to God with any agenda other than, God, I'm coming to you to learn and learn from you about rest and receive from you your rest. You might like to program times into your calendar. You might like to do it when you're going for a walk or a drive. You might like to do it when you wake up or when you go to sleep. But be deliberate about coming to God and receiving his rest.